We're here this morning. This is Children Come First, and I'm Dr. Daria Brzezinski. And as usual, we always have interesting guests on our show, and today we have Dr. Ruth Connolly. Dr. Ruth is superintendent of the Diocese of Scranton Schools, Catholic Schools. Good morning, Dr.
Good morning, Dr. Brzezinski.
Now, I'm informal here, so you can call me Daria.
Okay, thank you.
And our basic interest is to talk about children. Ruth, could you give us a little bit of background about yourself?
About myself?
Yes.
Okay. I have been superintendent of schools for the Diocese of Scranton for the past 6 years. I received my bachelor's and master's degree at Marywood University and my doctorate at Fordham University, Lincoln Center campus in New York City. I've been an educator all of my life. Been principal and vice principal. I've taught on the college level and the primary level, all of the different grades. And I consider myself to be a teacher as well as a superintendent.
Well, that's wonderful that you made your way up from the ranks.
Oh, yes.
Now, tell us, give us some demographics about the Diocese of Scranton. Where are the schools? You know, where are they? How big is it?
Okay. Well, when I go to visit the schools and or talk to parents and students in order for them to understand that their school is part of a much larger system, I usually tell them that the Diocese of Scranton contains 25% of the landmass of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So geographically, we're a very large diocese.
25%.
The school system itself is also quite large. There are 11 counties in the diocese, and we have schools in 7 of those 11 counties. We have 9 high schools, 50 elementary schools, and 13 what I call freestanding early childhood centers. So we have about a little less than 17,000 children in our care, about 1,100 teachers, and about 75 administrators. We range from rural areas like up in Towanda and Sayre, down into the Wilkes-Barre, city of Wilkes-Barre, and downtown Scranton. We go down into Stroudsburg area, where we have 3 schools in Monroe County, up to Honesdale and an early childhood center in Hawley. Carbondale, we have 3 educational settings. Down in Hazleton, and we have a number of schools out in Williamsport in Lycoming County. We have a school in Bradford County and in Towanda, and one in Sayre. And then, of course, our largest, most dense population is in Scranton area and the Wilkes-Barre area.
Now, can you tell me what exact counties you're in?
Oh, can I tell you the counties? I can. We're in Lackawanna County, Wayne County, Luzerne County, Lycoming County, Bradford County, and Monroe County.
All right. So that takes up 25% of the, wow, that's incredible, of the landmass.
Geographically, I put about 30,000 miles on my car a year, just traveling from school to school. It's quite a large, the diocese is quite large, and it's quite diverse in its student population.
Well, I would say, judging from the, and that's why I asked you what counties they were in, because judging from the counties, they're very diverse counties within themselves.
Right.
Not just geographically, but within the demographics.
Sure. The socioeconomic strata of the people in each of those counties is quite different.
And you are superintendent in all 5 counties.
Yes. I am superintendent, and my model of leadership is we work as a team. So I'm able to take care of the children in our schools by working with a wonderful group of people who support each other and who work always with the idea that the children come first. That's why I was so pleased to be asked to be on your radio program, because we all, that is most important to us, are the children. What is most important to us are the children who are entrusted to our care by their parents. Mr. Pat Cawley is an assistant superintendent for curriculum and staff development. Mr. Dan Donovan is an assistant superintendent for personnel. Mr. Joseph Haggerty is our financial assistant for the schools, and Father Jim Rafferty is our assistant superintendent for Christian formation. We have two additional part-time people who assist us, Jack Clark from the Allentown Diocese, and our diocese works with our federal programs and state program funding, and that's it.
All right. Now, you just said something that sent a red flag to me. You receive, Catholic schools receive state and federal funding?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Well, a lot of people...
I mean, we don't have vouchers.
No, we don't receive it. A lot of people say that vouchers won't work because once the public starts giving their money to the Catholic schools, there'll be all kinds of entanglement. What they don't know or not aware of is that we already receive state and federal money. We receive money through Link to Learn, which is our technology support. E-rate, we get some of this financial assistance there and reduction in prices through the federal assistance. We get Title I services for our children in our schools. We have free and reduced lunch programs, transportation, various speech programs. There are a number of acts that govern. It's very carefully regulated, so there are a number of acts that govern exactly how much money comes in, and we don't ever see any actual money, but the programs are there that regulate. The money follows the student, and there's also the textbook money and technology money that we get. So we have a number of titles. We have Title II and Title I and Title IV, Safe and Drug-Free Schools money, telecommunications, people with disabilities. So there's a number of different sources of information. And probably the largest is Act 9195, which is our textbooks, and we get so much per child covered by the state and by the federal government. So there's some money comes to us in terms of people's salaries, which provide direct services to children in need of remediation or our gifted children with special needs, and some of it comes in terms of materials, but they're all non-sectarian. So we're very careful, and there has not been a problem, and I don't think the money given to parents through vouchers would also be a problem because there has been no entanglement. We follow all of the state guidelines by choice. We are mandated to follow health and safety guidelines. That knows no distinction between the public and the parochial school. But we choose in our diocese to meet the state minimum requirements, and we exceed them in many cases. But we do receive funds.
I had no idea whatsoever. I just assumed that private schools were private, and they received
no... Private schools, maybe. We're affiliated with the church, so there are different classifications between a private school, a parochial school. Some private schools do not accept federal and state money. They don't want it because they don't want any even appearance of connection to the government. So it depends. It depends on the. We are a parochial school, a private. Catholic school system, so we do receive the funds for our children, because our parents pay their tax dollars, and this is one way of getting some of that money back.
Now, there is much controversy these days over quality education.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a different perception of what they think a quality education looks like.
Right.
In a Catholic school, what is your definition of quality education?
I think we provide quality education to the children in our schools, and I think I would define it probably by saying it's an education that meets the needs of the child where the child is and then pushes the child to be the most complete person, the best person that they can be. We provide all of our schools in the diocese are Middle States accredited. Now, that just means that we have gone to an outside agent to make sure that we are doing what we think that we do, because we could be burrowing along thinking that we are carrying out certain programs and living up to our mission statement and have become myopic and not be able to see ourselves clearly. So we invite Middle States in. So every elementary school but one, which is in the process of its self-study, and every high school, of course, is certified by Middle States. We promise parents that the first thing that we teach in our schools is the tenets of our faith, our prayers, and the traditions of our church, and the importance of faith and prayer in the life of the students that we work with. But right on the heels of that comes a basic education in math and language and social studies and science, and in some respect, even the arts. But we don't have a lot of frills. Although we receive federal and state money for services to children, and we do receive $15 per child for a textbook. If you've bought any book, whether it's a textbook or not, you'll know that you cannot get a book for $15, and the textbooks run about $50 a piece. So we don't have the funds to provide a lot of extras to our parents, and I don't think they come to us for the extras. Our schools are really financed by three sources. The first is, and the largest, is probably the parish support. Pastors have to supplement each child who attends a Catholic education setting. They have to supplement by at least 25%, and in many cases it's 30%, to the tuition that the parents pay. The average tuition in the diocese is about $1,500 for elementary and about $2,500 for high school. It costs us about $2,500 on the elementary level to educate a child. That's the per pupil cost. So the difference between the $1,500 and the $2,500 has to be picked up by the parishes primarily, and the third source of funding is fundraising. And we do that with our parents, and we do it so that we don't tack it onto the tuition, because they can go to family members, they can sell chances and all kinds of raffles and things of that nature, so that it doesn't necessarily have to come out of the parents' pocketbook. They can go to their workplace, or can go to family and friends who also want to help support the Catholic entity. And many of our graduates want to have a tie back to the school, and so fundraising is one way that they do that.
Now, you said that you spend $2,500 per student, and the tuition is $1,500 at the elementary level. What was it at the high school level?
At the high school level, the average tuition is about $2,500. It may be closer to $2,700 now with next year's tuition coming into place. And it costs us about $4,500 to educate a child on the high school level.
Now, I'm going to be the devil's advocate for a short time here. We national averages in public schools, our expenditures are approximately average $6,700 per child. How do you manage spending so little and giving?
$6,700 is high school or elementary school?
High school.
Okay. Well, one of the ways that we do it is through the dedicated teachers that we have. All of our teachers are state certified, and the majority have a master's degree, but they are working in our school system because it is part of, I believe it is seen as a ministry. This is not a job for them. This is something they do to continue their faith and the instruction in their faith, and because of the faith community that we have in our schools. So our teachers are not paid parity with public school teachers. We could not afford to do that. So that's one way. Our salaries are less, and we don't hire the quantity of people. There are 17,000 children in this diocese, and there are three full-time assistants and one superintendent who manage the entire diocese. So we, in our schools, they're site-based managed. Every school has a principal. Very few of my schools on the elementary level, although some of them have 500 children, have vice principals in them. They're run primarily by the principal. So our staffing, we keep our staffing cut as trim as we can. The high schools all have vice principals or deans of students. They have the necessary staff that they need to run the high schools. Also, we don't offer elaborate music programs or art programs. We don't offer what we can't do well and completely, and that's how we keep our costs down. We don't have the luxury of changing our textbooks as frequently as perhaps the public school does, or providing enrichment materials to our students. They're done through AP courses in our high school. We have a wonderful relationship with our Catholic colleges in the area, with College Misericordia and the University of Scranton, King's and Marywood University. So we're able to provide college courses to our accelerated students or who are need to be challenged when they're in high school in their senior year. So there's another large group that enable our schools to keep going with keeping our costs down is that we are tremendously dependent upon our parent volunteers. They come in and help in secretarial capacities, in lunchroom, in supervision. Everyone has a clearance. We make everyone who comes into the school site has to have a clearance, but they come in and they volunteer just hundreds and hundreds of hours as library staff or computer technicians. So we couldn't do it without the volunteer staff and the dedication of our teachers and the tremendous amount of money we get from our parishes, from the people who attend church on Sunday, who either graduated or didn't graduate from a Catholic school but have chosen to put their child in a public school but still think that a Catholic school is a valued instrument for the teaching of the faith. So we depend upon the people in our churches on Sunday morning who contribute to education. This is a community effort. It's the teaching of the church that it is the responsibility of the church to educate its young, and the bishops of the United States have agreed that parochial education, Catholic school education, is a very important means to do that. And our bishop in particular, Bishop Timlin, is extremely dedicated, as is Bishop Doherty, to Catholic education and to making sure the identity of the Catholic school is very clear, that we are very clear that we are here first and foremost to teach about the teachings of our church and to have the children leave us with a sense of their own potential and their own giftedness and the tremendous comfort of knowing that God has created them and that God is ever present in their lives. And those are what we give our children in addition to the quality education that we give them.
You are listening to Children Come First. This is Dr. Daria Brzezinski. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m., WAAT 750 a.m. on your radio dial, and also WFBS in Berwick at 1280 a.m. on your radio dial. And we are here today with Dr. Ruth Connolly, superintendent of the Scranton the Diocese of Scranton Catholic Schools. I never know how to quite say that.
It's a mouthful.
Yes, exactly. That was my next. Now, what you have then, from what I just heard, is you have a very important model as a community school, because it is people who are volunteering and giving their money through indirect means by going to their church who are supporting children receiving a Catholic education. And that's very commendable in the sense that this is truly, and the volunteer work is truly, a community school.
That's right. That's right. And it's, you know, what we do, I believe, is what a lot of parents are now beginning to ask of the public sector as well. There's a very extensive parent survey that is done every year by Rand McNally, and it's they ask parents what they want and from their school system. And in the 80s, they asked for school security. And in the 90s, they asked for right out of my head. In the 90s, they asked for something else that was related to drug-free schools. What they're looking for now is they're looking for the public schools to teach values, and I honestly don't know how a public sector, a public school, is going to be able to teach values, because values are very personal, and they're very, very much geared to someone's faith system, their belief system. So to teach a sense of honesty or a sense of morality or ethics, values, what is important in life to children who are Muslim and children who are Hebrew or Jewish, children who are Methodist and Presbyterian and Lutheran, and children who have no faith at all, who will come from a family that have no faith belief system. I think that's a challenge that I think would daunt the mightiest educator. So, but we are in place, and that's exactly what we do. we do accomplish or do strive to accomplish.
Well, it seems that I have done a study on the textbooks of the 1800s, the late 1800s, and long before all of our laws and legislation, the very focus was on characters, values, and morals. And so somehow in our public schools at one time, we did,
right.
We were able to do that. And I think that's what we're asking the schools to do again. However, I have a real, everyone asks that schools are the be-all and end-all. And as you said, you know, the general public schools have a much broader population than perhaps you do in
yes,
the Catholic
they
school.
They do.
What does a Catholic school day include?
A regular day would begin with prayer and then the regular course requirements of math and reading and language and science, a short lunch period. Our lunch periods are notoriously not very long.
What does that mean?
For the teachers or for the students.
What does that mean? How long?
A half an hour, 40 minutes.
Okay.
That's about standard, I would think. The children have gym once a week. They may have music once a week and art, especially on the elementary level. On the high school level, it's a little different. There are labs built in, and there's availability for the various languages and art components and instrument components. Now, a lot of my schools do have instrumental programs, and they do have wonderful choruses. It depends on the parent volunteer population that's available in the area, as well as the interest of the faculty and the talents of the faculty. But if you came in, one of the interesting things and one of the reasons I was happy to give you this interview is that I was talking to a group of parents in Pike County recently where they're doing a survey to see if there is a need in the student population for parents, for children to come to a Catholic school because there is not one there. And someone asked me to explain what it looked like if in a Catholic school today, and the parents were astounded because they felt their perception of Catholic education was austere, strict discipline, stand in the corner, slap your knuckles with a ruler, no individuality, no freedom of expression, learning by intimidation or controlling by intimidation. And you could not be farther from the that could not be farther from the truth. One of the things that when I visit the schools every year, I go personally because I need to look into the children's eyes, and I need to get a sense of whether or not they are comfortable and free, and with that there is the absence of boredom and there is the absence of fear in our schools. So the Catholic school today, although I went all the way through Catholic school myself, and although I am a talker, I never had my knuckles wrapped. So I didn't experience personal derogatory treatment of myself as a student going through. But I know there are a lot of war stories. It's just not my lived experience. And I know that it is not true in Catholic school system today. They are very warm, very nurturing places. There are rules and regulations, and children are taught the natural and logical consequences of their actions. We want these children to be productive members of society, and I think that's an important thing for them to learn, whether they're 6 or 16. But I think that if people are interested in Catholic school, they ought to go visit a local school and just walk through the halls and visit the classrooms and see what wonderful learning places they are. The children are happy, the teachers are happy, and that's when they learn the best.
Well, I happen to be one of those people who had their knuckles smacked and didn't have very good experience in Catholic school. I went for a very long time, so I understand and I empathize with those adults who have a preconceived notion, as I do, of what a Catholic school was.
Right.
And I was my Catholic school was all nuns mm-hmm. all the time. There were no lay teachers at that time. So, and I won't tell you how far back that is.
Well, that would be a major change you would see today in our Catholic school system. We have there was when I became superintendent 6 years ago. there was over 50% of our principals were religious. I had two priests and the rest were women religious. I just did an article for the Scranton Times, so I went back and got some statistics, and we now are down to about 40% of our principals are women religious today, belonging to religious communities. So the administrative end of the Catholic schools in the Diocese of Scranton is being slowly but surely turned over to lay men and lay women. As you said, when I went to school as well, I think there was one lone lay woman who was teaching in the school in New York. But today we have the majority of our teachers are lay. We have we still have a number of religious in our school, about 200-220 teaching in our school, but the majority of our teachers are lay teachers.
Now, with the decline of the number of nuns and priests, what role does the laity play?
Well, they play a key role. As our schools were losing their sisters and priests in teaching and administration, they were very smart, and the communities were training lay people to take over their places when they left. So we are in a very good spot in terms of they did a wonderful job of leaving the schools in terrific shape and in educating people to take their places. The role that they play is very important, because they are now those who are carrying on the faith and teaching the tenets of the faith. So we try to nourish our teachers. All of our teachers in the diocese have to, once you become a teacher in the diocese, you have to take 18 credits up at the Pastoral Formation Institute in church history or sacraments in the course of, you have 6 years to do it, but you must come into the system and go back to school for the current church teachings. We have one priest who is still in administration. The rest are women, women religious and lay and men and women.
Now, how do you define a Catholic education?
How do I define it?
Yes, as opposed to, you know, I look at the college that I graduated from, which is a Catholic college, and it is now minus nuns. And which was kind of the guiding force of the college that I graduated from, and it seems that I don't see a difference in the college today. I mean, I don't see it as a Catholic college anymore. I don't know what defines it as Catholic anymore, other than we had to have a priest on campus.
Well, I think what defines our Catholic schools is the term Catholic, and I don't think the term Catholic was ever defined as meaning priests and sisters. I think the term Catholic is a faith. It's a faith we are given as a gift by God, and I think what clearly identifies our Catholic schools is that is the primary focus, the gospel teachings, the lessons that Almighty God has sent to us through the scriptures, knowledge of and reception of the sacraments, the importance of prayer in your life. These are the tenets of the school. So when you walk in, you will not see sisters walking around the school, but you will see the gospel tenets. And I think that's very important, and I think that shapes the identity. It's not so much what the teachers are wearing or how they look. It's how they act, how they speak, how they treat one another, how they treat the children, and how the children feel in their presence about themselves and what they do when they leave the school. And that's the Catholic identity of a school. And I think that in our school system, when I go to the schools and I sit down and I meet with a group of teachers, I meet with a group of students and a group of parents this year, I always say to them, what is it you think that makes this school Catholic? Well, we have religion. I say, yes. And then we learn our prayers, and they list all the prayers they know for me. And we go to church, and I said, what else? Well, the teachers are really good, and they help us all the time, and they don't make fun of you if you don't know what you're doing, or if you can't do it, they help you, and you don't feel stupid. And I think all of those things are important. I think some of those qualities can be said of the wonderful public school teachers that we have, who are also very kind and gentle with the teachers, with the students that they teach. But when there's an altercation on the playground, when a child's feelings are hurt, when there's a tragedy in the family, We can talk to them about the importance of religion in their lives. We can pray with them. We can use the gospel as a tool to bring them comfort. And you cannot do that in the public sector. Even though you believe it yourself, it's against the law to do it. So I think that's what makes our Catholic schools Catholic.
You're listening.
And I'm hoping that out of this, if the wheel turns completely around, what will happen is that a lot of our children will be inspired by the teachers and the teachings that they've had in our Catholic schools and want to do more for the church. And to do that, they will turn back to seminaries and to religious novitiates to come back into lives of service to the church.
You're listening to WAAT 750 AM on your radio dial. We'll be back for our second half hour with Dr. Ruth Connolly from the Diocese of Scranton Catholic Schools. This is Dr. Daria Brzezinski. You can reach us at 877-PRO-KIDS. That's 877-PRO-KIDS.